want to kick this morning off. We've got two incredible speakers who are going to come and speak to us this morning. One is Atalia Ingham. Let's give it up for Atalia. Come on. And the other, who is definitely multitasking this morning, is our very own Johnny Taylor. Nothing like multitasking. But you know what's great is I have met with both of them over the last few weeks, and I have listened and heard how what God has wanted to say through them has developed and percolated in their heart. And you know what's incredible is this could have been one message. Honestly, so God had such a clear message to be said today that it could have been spoken by one person. They've not met together, but honestly, it sounds like one message spoken by two different people. And so I just want to encourage you that God has something for you this morning. And these incredible speakers are going to share what God has spoken to them. And so without further ado, we're going to welcome Atalia Ingham to the stage.
Great. So we're going to watch a clip in a second. Put your hand up if you've seen Moana. I absolutely love Moana. It's one of my favorite films. But if you haven't seen it, the background of Moana was there was something stolen from an island called the Heart of Te Fiti, and it what kept all the islands alive. So when it was stolen, everything started to die, and Moana was called to go and put the Heart of Te Fiti back to kind of save all the islands. And when she went to put it back, she hit some really hard times, and she decided to quit. So we're going to watch the video now. So if you all turn your eyes to the screen, we'll watch that. Did you all see the little green thing that was glowing? That was the Heart of Te Fiti, if you really wanted to know. My title's Where's Your Confidence At, if you want a title for your notes. So Moana was called with a purpose and a voice and a plan, just like God's called us with a purpose and a calling. However, what I really love about Moana is her confidence was in her circumstances. So when she was called to go and put the heart back, her confidence was in a circumstance. So when she had good friends around her, she had good people, the sea was calm. She was like, oh yeah, I'm just like drifting, you know, it's all good. But then as soon as it all went bad and the storms came and all her friends left her and there was troubles in the way, she was like, I quit, I'm out. Her confidence was in her circumstances. And so my question for you guys today is, where's your confidence at? We was called with a purpose and a calling and a voice, fully known by God. But sometimes our default is we put our confidence in our circumstances. So I'm just going to jump into this. So instead of going and fulfilling our calling, we're like, oh no, there's that bully at school, so I can't do that. Or we're like, there's that pressure at work, or at home, things isn't going great, so I'm not going to do my calling yet, I'm not going to go there. Or we listen to what he says and what she says, and instead of actually going out and being like, yeah, my confidence is here, my calling's here, I've got a voice, we're like, mm-mm, I'm out, Jesus, I'm out. And we're just walking off because we're too scared, because instead of our confidence being in the one who's called us, our confidence is in our circumstances. But did you guys know nothing on earth can silence your voice or God's voice inside of you apart from yourself? So when you're saying, I can't do that, God, because there's too much going on, God's like, we're actually silencing our own voice and God's voice inside of us instead of actually going out. So in Isaiah 43:1, it says, I have called you, you are mine. He calls you through everything, through the bad times, through the good times, through the really, really difficult times. He still calls you. He's still like, you still have a calling. Even when sometimes we feel like we've messed up, he's like, no, I'm still calling you. Go, let's go and do this. So why are you putting yourself down? Why are you telling yourself that you can't do it? You guys have been created with a voice and a calling, a voice that is powerful, a voice that no one else has. And because your confidence is in your circumstance, instead of going out and being like, yeah, I'm confident because he who has already won the victory is calling me, we're like, I'm not confident yet, God, because that's just not going right, and I don't think I'm good enough. And they say I'm not good enough, but God's like, I've said you're good enough. I think some of us need to regain confidence to speak again by putting ourselves in, looking towards the one who's called us to go, instead of looking at the people who are saying you can't do that. This has gone really, really fast. I think God's just saying that sometimes we put ourselves down because we feel like the calling's too big. But the Moana, if she didn't go and put the heart back, she wouldn't have saved the islands. If Jesus didn't go and die on the cross, we wouldn't be here today. So if you didn't go and do your calling and your voice and your purpose, then what's going to happen there? Where are we going to end up? What's going to happen? Because one day I was walking and I saw a lady, and she was really struggling. She had two kids, and I just walked past her, headphones in, and then I was like, I should go and speak to that lady, see if she needs help. Walked back over, really, really scared. I'm quite an introvert, so I walked over and I was like, do you need some help with your shopping bags? She ended up passing me two kids, so I had one kid on my arm, one kid holding it. I was like, cool, she's there on the phone, walking. And she puts the phone down, she's like, you're really kind. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And she's like, where are you going? And I was like, I'm actually going to church. I'm setting up for Live Free, our youth group. And she was like, tell me more about church. And I ended up having a two-hour conversation with her on my way to church and ended up missing setting up. But instead, I had a conversation with a lady, because instead of myself thinking I'm not good enough, I actually went terrified, but was like, nah, God's calling me with a voice and I'm going to use my voice. So I think, yeah, some of you guys need to regain your confidence again to speak. So we're going to watch a clip now before Johnny comes back up and continues his conversation.
Oh, is it just me, or does that get more emotional the older you get? Seriously, there's not many dry eyes in the house. There's grown men in the audience. Say Fever, Deirdre. Say Fever. So who knows what film that's from? Why don't you shout it out? I can't really hear you. What film's it from? I'm just taking the mic now with the microphone. Yeah, it's from Toy Story, a film of many firsts. I think you'll agree with me. This is the first feature-length computer-animated film ever to make it to the cinemas. Wow. It's also the first film by Pixar Studios, acquired by Disney, and this is the first film they put out there, and I don't know if you'll agree with me, but they absolutely smashed it with this first run. And it's also, ladies and gentlemen, the first film that I ever watched at the cinema when I was 3 years old. It's, imagine how young I look now, imagine what I looked like back then. I was absolutely adorable. And during this scene, if I had understood what was going on, I probably would have got a bit upset. I still think he's going to make it every time he jumps. I still do. I still just cross my fingers. Has anyone got any favourite characters from Toy Story? Woody? Favourite character? Buzz? Anyone else? Any favourite characters from Toy Story? What's that one? Slinky Dog? The Alien? Nice one. I think my personal favourite is Rex, but that's because when I was three, I was super into dinosaurs. But as you might have guessed from the clip, the character that we're going to be focusing on today, and he's going to be sort of the focus of my talk, is Buzz. And you might be wondering why I picked such a depressing clip to start my talk with. I think there's a lot that we can talk about from this clip. So the title of my talk is going to be Buzz's iconic catchphrase. Does anyone know what that is? To infinity and beyond. There we go. I enjoyed that. So just for some context, has anyone not seen Toy Story? Wow, okay. There's one person. I'm very sorry, but I'm about to spoil the film for you. But I don't feel that sorry about it, to be honest. I mean, we've had 23 years. While I'm at it, Bruce Willis is a ghost, and Jesus came back from the dead, so there you go. But anyway, I'm about to spoil the film. So at this point in the film, Buzz has who's gone on believing, basically, he thinks he's the coolest guy in the universe. He thinks he's a space ranger, and the space rangers are out seeking, protecting the galaxy, and they're out to destroy the evil Zurg. Does anyone remember Zurg from Toy Story 2? So Buzz basically believes he's amazing, and Woody, who's the, for this one person who hasn't seen the film, is this cowboy who knows he's a toy, and he's trying to get it into Buzz's head that he's also a toy. And Buzz sort of lives in ignorant bliss until this point where he gets sort of undeniable evidence that he's not the person that he thought he was. And it sort of brings him quite literally crashing to Earth. And that's what I really wanted to focus on, is we can sometimes construct an identity for ourselves in the same way that Buzz did. So Buzz really, I don't know why, but he really, really needed to think that he was the space ranger, that he was the hero of his story. And when he realized that he wasn't, he makes this last stand to prove to himself that he can do all the things that he thought he could. The problem is the person that he was wasn't able to do the same things as the person that he thought he was. And that's the point I want to center on, is when we believe there's more power in the identity we construct over the one that is given to us, that's when our brokenness is revealed to us. You know, Buzz's arm sort of comes off, and he gets taken by Sid. Who remembers Sid? Anyone lived next to a kid like Sid? You're not putting your hands up because your names are here. So Buzz gets picked up by Sid's sister, and he becomes Mrs. Nesbitt. You remember that bit? Mrs. Nesbitt is this weird doll that she puts a hat on him, and he sort of sinks into despair, and he sort of doesn't know what to do now that he's not this person that he thought he was. And I was thinking about why would Buzz construct that identity for himself? Why wouldn't he just accept who he was, and why would he live in so much ignorance about it? And I think the reason is that for Buzz, there's a purpose within that identity, and there is no purpose in the one that was given to him. And I think sometimes we can view it the same way. We start out and we're quite content as kids, just sort of running around and doing our own thing, but eventually that message starts to sink in that you are the person that if you can acquire things, if you can acquire status, if you can acquire money, if you can acquire power, that is the identity that will really define who you are. And we begin to lose our way, I think this is why so many people hit like a midlife crisis. You know, does anyone remember Andy from last week? That's my dad. So I just want to shout out that, you know, if he'd heard this talk when he was 29 or whatever, maybe that wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't have dressed like Noel Gallagher. But when we're not the heroes of our own story, that's quite difficult. It's quite difficult to believe that with you know, Disney, as fantastic as Disney is, the message of Disney typically is, if you believe in yourself, it'll probably work out, right? And I think this is one of the rare scenes where that doesn't really happen. And I think that's why Toy Story is enduring, because it tells a slightly different narrative about who we are. But who are we? You know, that's quite a big question. I'm not going to try and answer that fully. I think that's something that we all are on a journey on. But I think we can make a good start by turning to someone who knows exactly who they are, and that's Jesus. Anyone agree with me this morning? So we're going to turn to, if you've got your Bibles with you, I'm reading from Matthew 16, from verse 13 to 17 in the New International Version, the NIV. It says this: when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." So these are people that have existed before Jesus has arrived, who are very famous in the region. "But what about you?" he asked. Jesus asked, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter, and Simon Peter is one of Jesus' best friends, he says this: "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Jesus knows who he is so well that he can ask others and he can correct them. Now, how rare is that to find in our life? I certainly have struggled in my past of feeling defined by what others think of me, of becoming a bit of a slave to that, if I'm honest. Jesus isn't in this place. He knows exactly who he is, what he was created to do. He knows his purpose. Jesus came with a purpose, and that is to bridge the gap between us and God. So I want us to think back to that scene where Buzz is stood on the banister. He puts his super space wings out, and he's ready to fly. And there's this gap in front of him, between him and the window, sort of his deliverance, if you will, his way out. And he doesn't make the gap in his own power. He can't do it. He can't fly like he thought he could. And there is a gap between us and God, purely because God is perfect and we are not. It's that simple. And because God is infinite in his perfection, that gap is infinite. It's so much larger than you could possibly even imagine, and so much larger than we could cross ourselves in our own good deeds. You know, sometimes I think we equip ourselves and we're building wings out of the good deeds we do for people, the gifts we drop off at people's doors, the kind words that we say. These are all great things, but they're not going to help you fly and cross the gap. The gap's infinite. But anyway, so going back to this idea of what your purpose is, Jesus knows his purpose is to bridge that gap, but we also have a purpose. I don't know if anyone remembers, so later on in the film when Buzz has gone through this weird funk about not knowing who he is, and he becomes Mrs. Nesbitt, and he does that thing where he's like, 10 years of space training wasted, I think he says that. Woody reminds him that he does still have a purpose. It's just not the purpose that he thought it was. And I think this is the point in the film where Buzz he's been strapped to a rocket. I might be remembering that wrong. He's in a crate, and Woody's like, Andy still loves you. Andy's the little boy that to whom Buzz and Woody belong. And in fact, Andy's written his name on Buzz's foot. Does anyone remember that? He's written on all the toys that he loves and that he claims belong to him or in his presence. He's put his name on those toys. Did you know there's a name written on your heart? Just like that. A name that signifies a belonging. And it was written in blood through the sacrifice of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus is on your heart. And Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. He says, "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ." He's addressing the Corinthians, the church at Corinth in Greece. "He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." Jesus literally invests himself into us. He equips us with his Holy Spirit, which moves with us wherever we go, so that we can do the things beyond our own power. Yeah? We're so limited in the power that we have that we try and make up for it through different things. But the gap between us and the almighty power of the universe has been closed already. Some of us have stood at that banister looking at the gap going, "I could probably do this," not realizing that the gap was already closed. We don't need to leap across the gap because it's been closed by Jesus. And Jesus knows this about himself, knows that this is his mission. He even says in John 14, verse 6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I'll read that again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So until you meet and you accept who Jesus is, you're just going to keep climbing up to that breaking point and trying to jump, and you'll keep falling, you'll keep hurting yourself, and you keep asking, God, where were you? But Jesus bridged the gap. Jesus is the way to the Father. The wings that you built for yourself won't close the gap, because we're not enough. But Jesus is enough. He always is enough. From the very beginning to the end, Jesus is enough to make up for all our iniquities, all our failures, and bring us into communion with our Holy Father. So I'm just going to invite Siobhan up to lead us in prayer. I hope that's resonated in your hearts, that something stuck with you there. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.